Welcome, and thanks for tuning in to the Sunday morning message at Bayleaf Baptist Church. Bayleaf Baptist Church is under the leadership of Pastor Marty Jackman. Our Sunday morning services meet at 8:30, 9:45, and 11 o'clock a.m. Join us now as we dive into God's Word.
Take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 5. If you weren't here last week, you know that I began a message, and I said it would be a two-part message, and we're looking specifically when Paul gave the admonition to be filled with the Spirit, and we really looked at three beginning admonitions in this text. He said, be careful how you live, for the days are evil. We certainly haven't gotten beyond evil days. We understand that. He said, make the most of your time. You know, I thought about this morning as I woke up early and began to read. Every one of us, since we gathered last time, now I don't mean this to be depressing, but it's just a fact of life. Every one of us has one less week we're going to live on this earth. You are 1 week closer to either the return of Christ or death. Be blessed. Andy, come and lead us in the invitation. No, I'm just kidding. And here's the question we all ought to ask. What is different about God's kingdom work here on this earth because of what I've done? Am I walking closer with the Lord? Have I spent time with the Lord? Have I shared Him with someone else? Have I served someone in the name of Christ? What is different this week compared to last week? Have we done exactly what He said? Made the most of our time. And then He gives that admonition, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. And we said last week, what does that mean? This is not, certainly begins with the initial indwelling of the Spirit. Some would talk about a baptism of the Spirit, in which we are indwelt by the Spirit of God when we come to faith in Christ. We have His Spirit within us. We talk about that often. But He also says that we are to be filled with the Spirit, and we don't see that as that initial indwelling, because the way He gives that is it is a continual thing that is to happen. It's a continual filling, and I put it this way, it's when we yield to the Spirit of God. When we are yielding to Him, when we are seeking to abide with Him, and we are seeking to walk with Him. We talk about abiding with Him. It's one of the key aspects of what we desire to be His disciples, abide with Him daily. So we yield to the Spirit of God and do what the Word of God says. Those are the three admonitions. And today, I want to look at just what I call the two blessings, or the two benefits, or the two consequences that we read about here of being filled with the Spirit of God. Both of these are challenging to us. I think one more than the other, but both will be a challenge, because oftentimes we're not filled with the Spirit. We're not yielding to Christ. We're living life on our terms. And when we live that way, these two blessings or these two consequences, so often we do not see in our lives, or even want in our lives. I'm going to begin in verse 15. I'm going to read the entire text again before we dive in and look at these consequences. It says, first, that pay careful attention then to how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. So don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. And His will for every one of us is to abide in Him and walk with Him and be obedient to what He has called us to do and given us in His Word. And don't get drunk with wine, which leads to reckless living, but be filled by the Spirit. Speaking, or your Bible may say addressing, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making music with your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of Christ. Now let's look at these two consequences, benefits, blessings of seeking to walk in the Spirit or to be filled with the Spirit of God. And I pray this are things we want in our lives, not just things we avoid, but things we desire. The first is this: when we are filled, and then we are a body who comes together filled, there is an overflow of God's joy in our lives. Let me say it again. When we are filled with the Spirit, there is an overflow of God's joy that is in our lives. And we really see that that's not a joy that we can contain. We're going to find a way to share it with those around us. Now, what is the natural way here? When we seek to walk in the light, as He has said here, and there is a joy that is unrestrained, the most natural way that we see this come out is so often in song. Now, we see it come out in serve. Now, we just sang, and you love the old hymns, and you all sang out, "Serve the Lord with gladness." And they're laughing because I can't sing. But how many of you serve the Lord with gladness? Most of us serve the Lord like this. "Oh, my goodness, He's getting me again." Do we serve the Lord with gladness? I think that's one way the joy of the Lord comes out. But also it's in evangelism. It's sharing. But here, notice what it says. Then when it says, be filled with the Spirit, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit, it says, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making music with your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice what he says. Don't get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. You know, why is that correlation there? Well, what is it? People who get drunk with wine, what are they trying to do? What are they wanting to do? I don't think most people who regularly get drunk say, "I'm trying to destroy my liver." That's a bucket list item. No, why do people get drunk with wine? Because they're trying to escape. They're trying to cope. He said, "The days are evil." We live in evil days. We live in a fallen world where we're disappointed, where we're hurt, where we're looked down upon so often, to where we have to fight sometimes just to survive. So just in that day, people seeking to find just a few moments of joy, of happiness, they go to the bottle. But what he's saying here is there's something better. You ever notice when you go to the bottle and when you finally sober up, the problem is still there and usually it's worse? So he says there's something better than that. Because he says so often the bottle or whatever you run to for comfort, whether it's food, whether it's pornography, whether it's into the arms of somebody that God has not created you to be with, you are seeking to cope. The Bible doesn't talk about coping. It talks about overcoming. So he says there's something better than you running to the bottle and being drunk with wine. He says instead it's better be filled with the Spirit. And when you are filled with the Spirit, When you have that, and you have abided with him, and you have walked with him, and you sense that presence, and you know he is there, there is an overflow of joy that is in your life. And you say, does that mean I'm always going to be happy? No. I think joy and happiness there are sometimes closer than we make them out to be in Scripture. But it says, what did they sing? They sang psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Now, if you marked out psalms and spiritual songs and just put hymns, that's shame on you, okay? I know you like hymns, but it says psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And they would sing to one another. But notice, there are not all psalms are happy. There are psalms of lament. There are psalms of confession. So when they got together and they worshiped together, the overflow of the joy, that thanksgiving in their heart that he speaks about, it would overflow and they would address one another in psalm. Steve McKinyon writes about this. We prayed for his son who's out in Seattle. Steve writes about the early church. And he says that in the early church, you know, they were gathering so often in homes and they didn't have choirs. I would miss that. I like our choir. But they would sing, and the only person that hears, that sees you singing is the choir and Andy. But in the first year, they would sing to one another. They would be looking at one another, and they would be singing. So you would know. Only the choir and Andy see the people out here going, now imagine you're in a smaller area and you're singing to one another. All of a sudden, it'd be like, man, brother, what's wrong? Man, who licked the stripes off your candy? My goodness, what's wrong? You would have that sense. Wait a minute, there is something going on here where the person, there's not a filling of the Spirit that is overflowing here. There's just something bad going on. There's an oppression here that it's taking place. So when we are filled with the Spirit, there's just going to be that overflow of joy that's in our lives, even when things aren't perfect. When there's pain and there's suffering, there is still that joy knowing that we are in the hands of God. And he will never leave us nor forsake us. See, we were talking about this morning. So often in the American context, we see our singing as women. It's just vertical. It's to God. But in Colossians, Paul told the church, says they admonished one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. They admonished one another. So you seek to be filled with the Spirit where you are, again, I am seeking to walk with Christ. I'm spending time, I'm hearing him in his word, I'm confessing, I am speaking to the Lord in prayer, I'm gathering together with other believers. I'm studying, I'm growing. I'm seeking not just to try to get away with everything I can that nobody sees, but I am seeking to be obedient to what the Word of God says. I'm seeking to be obedient in my family, in my marriage, in my work, in every aspect of my life. I'm seeking to walk with God. When you are filled with the Spirit of God, there will be that overflow that people will see. And I promise you, it's attractional. God will give us a story to tell, and we will not be able to help but tell it. So when we are filled with the Spirit, there is an overflow of God's joy that is in our lives, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So that's the horizontal. Well, you're saying, folks, I will tell you, I grew up in athletics. And I was used to taking the field or the court after the coach gives a speech. Gives, and it kind of gets you excited. It gets you ready to go. It motivates you. You know, when I'm here on the front row and it's a great, and I hear you singing, I hear you proclaiming God's truth in song. Hear me. It is a motivation. I just want to run up here and proclaim God's word to you. But I've also preached in places where it's dead as can be. It's kind of like you always, well, man. But we come in here with an expectation that God's going to move. And there's a joy that's overflowing. And you're singing praises to God. We are admonishing one another. And we're encouraging one another. But then there is the vertical. It says, singing and making music with your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for everything to God our Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when the joy is there, that feeling of the Spirit is there, it's going to overflow both to those around us, but also it is a beautiful offering to God. It's both. They sang to one another. They addressed one another. And then it says they sang with joy to their God. So do we have that joy that's overflowing when we sing, when we proclaim, when we serve? Do we have that joy in our lives? Let me read it again. When we are filled together, when we are filled with the Spirit and we gather together, there will be an overflow of God's joy in our lives. Now, I'll just say this. When you're not filled with the Spirit, a lot of times that's the struggle. You don't want to sing. You don't want to praise. You don't want to serve. And let me tell you, it makes you mad when other people do. It makes you angry when other people do. So that's why it's so important when we gather together that we seek to be filled with the Spirit of God, yielding to Him, being obedient to Him as we gather together. But then the second benefit or consequence of being filled with the Spirit, being filled together, is this. We desire accountability in our lives. Now, this is the one I'm telling you. If right now your immediate pushback, well, you got to check it. Am I filled with the Spirit? Because this is that benefit or consequence, however you want to say it, that boy, we will really rally, we'll really rail against if we are not seeking to yield to the Spirit of God. Now, in verse 21, you know, and you read commentaries, a lot of them say that verse 21 can go with either the preceding, like 15 to 20, or you can make it. We certainly know he goes, starts talking about submitting within the roles of the family. But he's been talking about gathering together. It certainly seems the local church context. So is he talking about what it's? Yes, there is submitting that goes on in both that takes place. So when we begin to talk about in the local church context, we begin to talk about submitting to one another, submitting to leadership, submitting to those that the church have called out as leaders. When we're talking about yielding to one another, it can be seen as something bad. It can be seen, wait a minute, why should I not have what I want? Why should I yield? Why should I be accountable to someone else? Because Scripture says that we should be willing to be accountable to others in our lives. You know, when we submit, what does it mean? I was asked Friday morning in our small group, what does submitting to one another in the local church context look like? What does that mean? What does it mean to submit? He says this, verse 21, submitting to one another in the fear of Christ. What does it look like? Well, I began to really think more upon that on Friday and Saturday. What does submission in the local church look like? And I wrote down these things. On matters of preference, we should seek to value one another. Now, let me give you some. John in 1 John says we're to love one another. Paul in 2 Corinthians talks about comforting one another. In Colossians, he wrote that we bear with one another. So there's a lot of, and I just gave you three, and there are many one another's in the New Testament talking about the local church. And the reason I put there on matters of preference. So let's talk about what is he just addressed? Music. He gave three types of music. There's psalms, and many of our hymns come directly from the psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Now, I will tell you that has broken up and split more churches in America than anything doctrinally. Preferences will usually bring down a church. I wish we would talk more about doctrine. But so often in the local church, it's about preference. So how do we yield to one another? How do we submit to one another? I put this, in matters of preference, we seek to value one another. We don't break it. We don't leave the church because they painted a wall a color I didn't like. If you can find that in Scripture, thou shalt not paint the wall beige. Okay, we'll yield to that. But so often it's matters of preference. In matters of preference, we seek to value one another. But here's the thing. On matters of doctrine, we exhort one another. In matters where the Bible speaks, we exhort one another, even to the point where we're willing to be disciplined, or we're willing to discipline, not because we're angry, but because we love. It's what Hebrews talks about. We are willing to submit to one another. That's why membership is so important. We live in a day where church membership is not valued and seen at the worth that it should be. That's why church membership is so important. That's why we meet with people before they join the church. Because we want to, what are expectations of a church member? What do we desire to see in them as we covenant together? See, I need that accountability in my life. I need people that when they look at my life to say, he is living according to God's word. That's why I submit myself. I submit myself to my family, but also my church family, to say, hold me accountable for how I live my life. I need men and women of God to speak truth into my life. And if we are filled with the Spirit, we will want that from one another. But here's the problem. When you're not filled with the Spirit, you have one of two reactions when someone comes to you to address something in your life. And it's what I learned as a police officer. It's fight or flight. Okay, Stephen comes to me, Pastor. I don't see you being the father that you should be, being the husband you should be. Okay, the fight mount. Well, you're fired. I wouldn't do that, but I just say, no, I'm going to fight back. I'm going to prove to you that you're wrong. Or it's the flight. All of a sudden, I give him the Heisman, and he's no longer part of my inner circle. He's no longer part of my life. That's what so often happens. We're not yielding to one another. We're not submitting to one another. It's that fight or flight. But the Bible is clear that when we love one another as we ought, and we are seeking to yield to God, we will want brothers and sisters speaking truths, even hard truths, in our lives. Why? Because we want to please God. We want to please God. You say, Pastor, what if what they come to me is not true? Then here's what you do. You pray through it. You thank them for loving you enough to come to you and speak into your life. You thank them for that. You pray through that. And then you come back to them and say, you know what? Man, I thank you. I don't see that. Here's what. And then you pray through that together. That's what it means to submitting to one another in the fear of Christ, because it is wanting to please Christ is why we admonish one another and why we love one another. You know, as I did this study tour in Germany, spent an entire week studying the German Reformation. And certainly learned a lot about Melanchthon, but primarily we were studying Martin Luther. And when you study Martin Luther, you have to take the good, but you also have to address the bad. Luther did many wonderful things, but near the end of his life, Luther became so anti-Semitic that if that's all you had of his writings, you would not believe he was saved. He wrote that we should set fire to the Jewish schools and synagogues. I'm bringing this straight from a list that he put addressing the Jews and their lies. Set fire to their schools and synagogues. Their houses should be torn down. Take away all their books. Don't let them own businesses. And forbid them to teach. Now, I just had to ask, how do you get to that point in your life when your life has been just, there's just seemed to be such deep fellowship with Christ? Well, as I studied, I think part of the answer is here. John Calvin sent Melanchthon a letter. Calvin and Luther never met. But he sent a letter to Melanchthon saying, would you please address this with Luther? And I'm going to summarize his response. His response was rather long. But it was this: Luther is staying in a terrible mood, and no one can speak to him. He's staying in a terrible mood, and no one can speak to him. I tell you, when we don't have godly men and women speaking truth into our lives, you see how quickly our testimonies and how quickly our walk can just disintegrate to this point of ungodliness. We need that. And when we are filled with the Spirit of God, when we are yielding to Christ and seeking to live that way ongoing in our lives, we will want people to speak into our lives. But you mark, if right now you don't want anybody addressing you and your life, I will guarantee you, you are not walking in the Spirit of God. So, the admonition, the days are evil. Live a life that honors Christ. Make the most of the time we have here upon the earth and be filled with the Spirit of God. Let that be our desire for our life. Let's pray together.
Thank you for listening. We hope your heart was blessed and encouraged by today's message. For more information on the ministries at Bayleaf Baptist Church, visit us on the web at www.bayleaf.org or give us a call, 919-847-4477. Thanks again and have a blessed day.